97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning. Happy Friday to you. I'm Kim St. Ange, filling in for Mark, who's going to be off today and Monday, so he'll return Tuesday. In the meantime, Scott Jagow, filling in for me. Good morning.
Good morning, Kim.
How
glad to be here. I'm doing good.
I'm very glad that you're here. I appreciate you filling in for me. You know what? We are officially back on Facebook. Would you believe it? We did our time. We learned, did not learn our lesson. Facebook, Zuckerberg. I know you're a really big fan, Zuckerberg, of this show, and he probably listens every day to get the latest on news and events happening around the world. So I just wanted to let him know we did not learn our lesson because it was stupid.
Stupid.
It was stupid. Mark was kicked off of Facebook for an entire month because of a picture he posted that had a gun because it was at a gun range and it was just an event he was going to. But we did our hard time and we're out. I'm picturing Michael Scott right now, you know, when he put Prison Mike.
Oh, yeah.
He used to watch The Office, right?
Yeah.
Prison Mike.
It's really funny you mentioned that because I was just thinking about The Office too for some random reason. It was something about respect. I kind of respect that. I don't really respect it.
R.E.S. I'm trying to think of what... Gosh, there's so many funny Michael Scott lines that I can quote. It's just such a great show. And what's funny is because it's not politically correct, I don't think that show would fly these days.
That's a good question. Maybe not on network TV.
Maybe not on network or the time slot that
on
it was
cable,
in.
On cable, it'd be fine.
Yeah, I think some of these shows, like obviously you have South Park and a lot of these shows that are just fine. But even, well, I say Friends, that was a little bit different. But The Office, I mean, made some jokes that I could see people being up in arms about saying, well, that's offensive.
Yeah.
How dare they go there and discriminate? It's a funny show. That's why comedians are funny, because they go there, right? They say the things that other people are way too scared to say, right? All right. Well, we're glad that you're here, whether it is on Facebook. We're staying on Rumble. We're not leaving that. I know some of you switched over and say you like that even better. You can always find us on X. Just a reminder, we have that listener line. You can leave a little... Carl, you're reacting as if someone maybe left a message.
No, lots of people have... We have a lot of people watching on Rumble and a lot of people watching on Facebook. So,
okay. Well, if you're listening on the app, then you can go to the little microphone button and you can hit that and leave a 60-second message. And you can re-record if you don't like what you said or how you said it.
Oh,
and let us know what you think.
Remember that you have to wait for the beep. Don't start talking as soon as you say record now.
Well, it's like when you leave a voice message and you get cut off. Wait for the beep first before you start talking. All right. We have more to get to. Obviously, we want to update on Hurricane Milton and the devastation that has happened in Florida. The latest numbers I've seen are at least 14 people dead, millions of people, 2.5 million, I believe, people without power this morning. So those crews working around the clock trying to get the power back on for everybody who's been affected. But a lot of damage to the homes and the neighborhoods, trees down. So you feel for all those people who have been hit multiple times. Questions about FEMA and the spending. Is there enough money? At the bottom of the hour, we're going to get a check of business with Nicole Murray. Right now, though, Carl, let's get to our shortlist.
The Mark Dot Shortlist.
Harrison, you have a lot going on. Why'd you hit the trail with Holly? I mean, he's a good guy, but why?
Well, it's the bye week, so I have some time. We decided to stay and...
As if I needed another reason to like the Chiefs kicker more. Harrison Butker talking with Laura Ingraham about why he's decided to publicly endorse and now campaign around the state of Missouri with Josh Hawley. He was actually out in Cottleville yesterday. I love that guy.
Former President Trump, get a life, man. Help these people.
Will you hold him accountable? You said you were going to hold those accountable.
Public will hold them accountable. You better the press hold them accountable because you know the truth.
Well, that's a scary thought, that the public is going to hold Trump accountable. I think they already try to do that. The media certainly does by trying to fact check everything he does. But that's just ridiculous for Biden to suggest that Trump has not been helping the people affected by Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton. He's done a lot. In fact, he's housing 200 linemen in one of his hotels.
We have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities.
You know things aren't good when even Barack Obama says that Kamala Harris is losing momentum. He's out there talking to a group in Pittsburgh, and he's saying to the black men specifically, he's like, I don't know why the brothers were not supporting her. We're not supporting the Democrat like we did when I was running for president. Come on, you got to support her. She knows our struggles.
NBC is reporting that he was a security guard for the CIA before he came to the U.S. and that he passed two rounds of vetting. Does the administration believe there was adequate vetting?
So what I can say is I cannot comment on this directly.
That's my excuse. If I'm not really sure of what to say and someone asks me a question like that, I'm going to say what I can say is I can't say anything. You know, the more that Karine Jean-Pierre, which is who was talking, the more time she spends with the Biden administration, the more she's starting to sound like Kamala. Even Tim Walz, they're all starting to have, they all kind of have that word salad. They say a lot of words, but they don't really end up truly saying anything. She's talking about this Afghan national. Have you been following the story, Scott?
No, I have not.
Okay, so what happened was there was this 27-year-old who ended up being arrested in Oklahoma on Monday because it was determined that he had been planning this ISIS-inspired Election Day terror attack. Well, now it's come out this guy was actually working for the CIA as a security guard.
Holy cow.
Holy cow is right. They're like, well, he wasn't an informant. He was a security guard. This guy comes over to the United States from Afghanistan in September of 2021. So this is under the Biden-Harris administration. And it's not clear exactly when he was radicalized. Like, was this before or was this while he was living here in the United States? Because it came out that he was donating money, $540 in cryptocurrency, to some Syria-based charity that basically funnels money to ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good, right? That just makes us feel nice and warm and fuzzy. So thank goodness they were able to stop this attack before it happened. What's crazy to me is now you have Alejandro Mayorkas. He goes on while Karine Jean-Pierre is doing her daily press briefing. And Fox News's Jackie Heinrich, who I think we've had on the show, and she asked him a question about that Afghan national who worked for the CIA. And this is a long soundbite, but I want you to hear his, I just start playing it, Carl.
U.S. What screening did he undergo? What did he apply for to get here?
Jackie, I'm here in North Carolina, communicating with the individuals who are still conducting search and rescue operations. Over 200 people have lost their lives in Hurricane Helene. We have reports that at least 10 individuals have lost their lives as a result of Hurricane Milton. I'd be very pleased to answer your question in a different setting, but we're here to talk about emergencies and the support that we can deliver to people in desperate need. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Mr. Secretary, but we're getting conflicting answers from your agency and from the State Department about a man who was arrested for an Election Day terror plot. How do you not have those answers prepared?
Jackie, that's not what I said. What I said is I'd be pleased to discuss this issue at a different time, but I am here to speak about disasters that have impacted people's lives in real time, and that is the subject that I am addressing today.
Mr. Secretary, can you assure people that appropriate steps have been taken to secure the country against these kinds of threats? Because the outstanding question is whether this man was radicalized before the U.S. government brought him here or afterward. And people should be concerned
about
that.
Jackie, your persistence in questioning can be matched by my persistence in answers.
He couldn't even answer the question. That is very terrifying. All right, when we come back, we're going to update you more on just this devastation after Hurricane Milton, FEMA money, and DeSantis calling out Kamala Harris again.
She has no role in this process. And I've been dealing with these storms in Florida under both Trump and Biden. Neither of them ever politicized it. And in fact, all the storms I've dealt with under this administration, although I've worked well with the president, she has never called in Florida. She has never offered any support. So what she's doing is she's trying to inject herself into this because of her political campaign.
You go, Ron DeSantis, calling out Kamala Harris again because she's been so quick to say, you know, I've made calls to the Republicans and the Democrats and making sure they have everything they need as it relates to recovery relief efforts from Hurricane Helene and now Hurricane Milton in Florida. And DeSantis is like, That is just a straight up lie. He actually praised Joe Biden and said that they spoke on the phone and that Biden was very helpful, saying, hey, anything you need, you're going to get, which was great. But he made it clear that Kamala Harris has not had that kind of role. So it's interesting that she's been quick to say, oh, they're politicizing it. And that sounds like that's exactly what she's doing.
Yeah, and it's not surprising. There are a few weeks until the election. Most things that happen get politicized in an election.
Right. No, that's fair. But now, so then you have Biden out there yesterday doing a press conference, which is funny because all of a sudden now he started doing some more press conferences. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have noticed. He disappeared for weeks.
Which was also interesting because I think it was earlier this week, Kamala Harris was, she was maybe in one of North Carolina or something, announcing the whole $750 thing, the joke of a deal that she's trying to offer the people there. And at the exact same time, Biden started a press conference. So people were wondering, why did he, would there not have been communication that would overshadow it? Because all the networks pulled off of Kamala Harris doing her little press briefing and they went to cover Joe Biden. So they were saying, oh, is he trying to sabotage her? I don't know if I'd say that much, but it is a little weird that they didn't plan it better.
It is. I agree. I'm not sure if it's sabotage. It's more like pride. I feel like maybe his pride is a bit stung. He's in the background now. Everybody's, you know, all over Kamala. And so I feel like maybe Biden said, wait, I'm still the president. I still have some time here. And he's probably thinking about his legacy, too, how he's going to be remembered after, you know, he doesn't want it to be about that debate.
I mean it. I tell you what, there's so many funny little things you could. There's funny things you could impersonate with Trump, too. But man, Biden has his little go-to phrases that he likes to say. I want you to hear what Biden was saying when somebody asked if he had spoken directly to Trump about all the recovery efforts in Florida and a number of states. Listen to clip 9.
Mr. President Trump, former President Trump, get a life, man. Help these people.
Accountable. You said you were going to hold those accountable.
Public will hold them accountable. You better, the press hold them accountable because you know the truth.
Trump has done a lot, okay? He started a GoFundMe that raised several million dollars. He's housing about 200 linemen in one of his hotels. I do want to get to Tanya Powers with Fox News Radio because she, of course, is covering all of this, specifically in Florida. You know, they're trying to deal with what came from Hurricane Milton. Tanya, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
So tell us what the update is as it relates to Hurricane Milton.
Well, we understand that there's probably about a million people who now have power that didn't yesterday. So that's good news. There are still, unfortunately, about 2.5 million people without power. So that's still, you know, being addressed. Obviously, that is a big need. There have been some reopenings. I know that the Orlando International Airport said their departures will resume today for domestic and international flights. Their arrivals resumed yesterday, last evening. They did have some minor damage, but, you know, all in all, like I said, things are reopening there. I know the theme parks, including Walt Disney World, Universal Orlando, SeaWorld, they plan to open today. They've been doing an assessment of, you know, safety and seeing what's going on and make sure everything's in order before they reopen. So those two, you know, those two things are happening. There's also still a lack of gas at some fuel stations. Some of them are still closed. We understand from Associated Press reports that they're still closed as far away as Ocala, which is about 2.5 hours north of where the storm made landfall in Siesta Key. So that's still an issue, obviously. But people are, you know, trying to get back in and see, you know, those who evacuated have been going back to see, you know, what's left, if anything, of their homes and how badly that they were damaged, that kind of thing. Like I said, there's a lot of rescue workers, National Guard, still assisting. So, you know, that's all still underway as things, you know, slowly begin to the recovery process there.
We have about a minute left, but the latest numbers I've seen, at least 14 dead, but it seems like a lot of that was from the tornadoes that came from this hurricane versus the actual floodwaters. Is that right?
There, yeah, there have been the numbers I've seen fluctuate anywhere from 8 to 12, you know, and like you said, could be as high as 14. So they're kind of all over the map at this point. I do know that there was another woman who was found in Tampa Bay that was, you know, apparently as a result of the hurricane. But yeah, I'm just going to tell you, those tornado numbers that we were seeing from the outer bands, even before the hurricane made landfall, were just staggering. I mean, there seemed to just be no end to the tornado warnings, and though the many, many that were on the ground, I mean, it's just hard to get your head around when you look at this giant weather phenomenon that happened, and know that it actually could have been worse. Yep. if it had not, you know, reduced to from a 5 to a 3. There's no telling what we'd be talking about for
right.
damage.
We're actually grateful for that. Hey, Tanya J. Powers with Fox mm-hmm. News Radio. I know you have a lot going on this morning, so thank you for hopping on to give us an update.
Thank you.
All right, we're back with a check of business. Welcome back. I'm Kim filling in for Mark. He'll be back on Tuesday. Carl really likes to ask if I know a particular artist or a particular song, and then he's always shocked if I do, including Daryl Hall & Oates.
Daryl Hall and John Oates. Did you know?
I thought there was some drama between them.
They are. John Oates sold his part of the publishing, and Daryl did not like that.
So they no longer a thing?
No, they are not a thing. They are no longer a duo. In fact, they have to be known as Daryl Hall and John Oates. Hall and Oates is never a thing. In fact, if a promoter promotes them as Hall and Oates, they have to pay them a fine.
Oh my gosh. Is it really necessary to go to that length?
Well, if the name of the band is Daryl Hall and John Oates and they call them what they are not named, but everybody in the world calls them Hall and Oates.
So would I. That's exactly what I would call them. And you know who you asked that question to? Do you know who Hall and Oates is? Nicole Murray. I apologize on Carl's behalf that you were asked that question this morning.
I don't know why you keep asking me these questions. The answer has been pretty consistent.
No, she did not know who Daryl Hall is, and she did not know who Hall & Oates were.
Well, Hall & Oates I've heard of, but
yeah,
it's just not my
generation
of music, if you will.
Right, we're the millennials, right?
But they're used in commercials.
I know, but you don't necessarily make that connection that's the artist just because you hear a song. You might know a song and have no clue for your entire life who sings it. You just know you like the song, or maybe you even know the lyrics to the song.
That's what I get at hockey games. People request, hey, can you play that one song from that one thing?
Exactly. That would be what I would say. I have no idea who sings it. I just know I like it.
And it goes da-da-da.
Yeah. You know the one, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, I'll play that.
Okay.
On opening night with the Blues on hockey opening night, I will play da da da.
I'm going to harass you with text messages on music requests.
Please do.
All right, we got to get a check of business because I was looking, Nicole. They were saying how inflation rose in September. Well, it was 2.4%, but they were saying that came in hotter than they expected, right?
By 0.1% or 0.01%. No, I'm sorry, 0.1 percentage point. It's mm-hmm. Friday. Give me a break. But 0.1 percentage point. So both the monthly and the annual reading came in 0.1% higher.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not terrible, but it's not what the markets were hoping
right,
for.
Right. Not the direction we want to be moving.
Yeah, exactly.
What else is going on out there?
So futures are mixed ahead of additional inflation data later this morning. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 57, the NASDAQ down 9, and the S&P 500 down 11. A local investor is offering over $2.5 million to buy Urban Chestnut Brewing Company and save it from closure amid bankruptcy proceedings. Keg Holdings, LLC, and its owner Brian Travers made the initial bid to purchase Urban Chestnut just weeks after it filed for bankruptcy protection, claiming roughly $4 million in unpaid loans. Investors are looking ahead to the producer price index, a measure of wholesale prices, due out later this morning. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect the PPI index to have risen 0.1% in September on a monthly basis. The report drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Boeing said it had filed an unfair labor practice charge with the National Labor Relations Board against the union representing striking West Coast factory workers, accusing the leaders of not bargaining in good faith. Earlier this week, Boeing had drawn its latest pay offer to the union after 2 days of discussions with federal mediators. The average rate on a 30-year mortgage surged to 6.32% this week, and that is according to Freddie Mac. The rate ticked up from 6.12% last week, but a year ago, the rate averaged at 7.5%. Fed officials also signaled they expect further cuts this year and in 2025 and 2026. Microsoft will allow people to buy and play video games through its Xbox app for Android starting in November. The move is an immediate consequence of a judge ruling that Google will have to present alternatives to its Google Play App Store on Android devices. And finally, should we work from home? The UK Health Security Agency says yes, and that is because a recent study says working from home helps people eat healthier, feel less stress, and lower blood pressure.
I would agree that it does make people feel less stressed, but I just think that it's hard.
You're in your pajamas.
You're in your pajamas, but it's hard. Well, maybe you have business on top if you have to do an on-camera meeting or something like that, and then you have your pajama bottoms on. But I just don't think you're as productive, because I know when I worked from home for part of the year, I would, you know, do the dishes or try to get dinner started or something like that, and I just felt like I got my work done, but I was a little more distracted.
But you got the job done.
Well, that I guess that is fair. I'm sure a lot of people would support that, because it's hard once you let people work from home to get a lot of people to come back to the office. And I think that's what so many companies are struggling with right now. They have to incentivize people like, well, we'll give you this if you're willing to come back to the office.
I'm just wondering why they think, because I get what you're saying of like, well, you do the dishes, you may be a little bit more distracted. But if the job gets done, I'm wondering why companies are so against it.
Well, that's a fair point.
But also the eating healthier thing is crap. I feel like I just would eat all day long in and out of my kitchen if I worked from home.
Yeah, but
so
you're not going to
ways,
fast food for lunch. You're making it at home.
Yeah, but you do just snack. It's one of those things where you don't even know if you're hungry or what you want, but you just go open the fridge and stare at it for a little bit, and you feel like there's nothing good, even though you bought all the food. And then 10 minutes later, you go stare at it again, and then you're like, no, maybe something in the pantry will be better. And it's just around and around you go.
I hate when Healthy Me does the grocery shopping. It's the worst thing in the world.
Amen to that. All right. Hey, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Wednesday, Nicole. Or on right. Monday, whatever. Whatever day it is. Monday. We'll talk to you Wednesday, too. But first, Monday.
It's Friday, everybody. Give us a break here.
That's right.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one. Okay. I have to share the story that I found out of Texas. First of all, shout out to the teachers who maybe are kindergarten, first grade. I don't know when nap time ends. How what age do they stop taking nap time in school? They're not taking a nap in first grade, are
maybe
they?
Maybe kindergarten.
No. Kindergarten.
If it's all day kindergarten.
I remember naps in first grade, but that was a long time ago.
I wish that we had
definitely
a mandatory
I think
nap.
Second grade was where I didn't have naps.
Now that would make people work harder if you had a mandatory nap time.
Oh, that'd be great.
You have to. I would bring a little sleeping mat. You know, and we tuck it in a little cubby.
I have a memory right now of it. The teacher turning off the lights and us being on the floor on mats or whatever. And it was definitely first grade. So,
well, and how many kids actually fall asleep versus just giggle
Buffalo
and goof off with their friends and they don't really nap? And the teacher's like, shh, come on, come on. This is supposed to be nap time. Well,
that's,
I guess
that's teacher hungover time.
Well, two teachers, I guess, must have been fed up with some of the kids not sleeping at the Texas elementary school. So what they did was they gave students special stickers to make them sleep. Have you heard of these sleep patches, sleep stickers?
They're drugs.
Right. They're drugs. It's like a sleeping pill.
Mm-hmm.
I've never used one myself. I don't know. Is it comparable to just as strong as, like, say, a Unisom or something?
It's like a NyQuil.
Yeah, but it's a drug. It's not like melatonin.
Oh, yeah. So stronger than, say, melatonin.
Yeah. And
right.
Pharmaceutical,
and, right,
not
and
natural.
Right, not natural. So this is
Lord.
Wild. So I guess what happened was the kid came home with this patch that had a moon on it or whatever, stars and clouds on it. And the mom said, oh, you know, honey, what is that? And she said, it's a sticker. My teacher gave it to me. She gives it to me during sleeping time. So the parents march up to the school and are very understandably irritated with what happened. These two teachers end up getting placed on administrative leave. Even two paraprofessionals who were also in the classroom, they were placed on administrative leave. And these parents are so angry, they ended up filing a report, and they said, if this is true, then we want criminal charges filed.
Yes. Leave.
You're giving
Give me a break.
You're giving the... How... I mean, my gosh. I mean, you just don't, unless you're asking your kid questions, you just don't know what's going on. Because what if the kid had not come home with that patch still on? The parent would have never thought to ask. And depending on the kid's age, it's not like they would have thought to tell their parents that.
And the school nurse calls to give your kid an aspirin, but the teachers are circumventing.
Well, they're supposed to, but now I wonder how often that's not happening. They just say, here's your aspirin. You go ahead and take it. And the parent has no awareness that that's even going on.
That is horrific. I don't know how they weren't fired on the spot.
Well, I'm sure they will be because now that the story's gone public,
the process.
Right. They have to do their little due diligence and say, oh, we're going to fully investigate this. But you're right. I mean, where else would they have gotten that sticker from? A friend, a fellow kindergartner who had them in their backpack?
Yeah, if I was the principal,
Billy,
I'd be like,
I got some in my book bag. Come here.
Here's the process. You gave a kid a pharmaceutical sleeping pill, you're fired. That's it.
Yeah. Teachers, I feel for you for trying to get those kids to go to sleep and not be rowdy. But I think it's safe to say giving the kids drugs to drug them to go to sleep is not the answer. So my gosh, yes, I hope the school district fires these two teachers at this Texas elementary school. My goodness. On the other side of the break, Ethan Bright joining us in the studio for In Other News. I'm Kim St. Ange in for Mark Cox.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Hugh Jackman, fresh off his success of Deadpool and Wolverine, will be headlining a 12-concert residency at Radio City Music Hall that's going to start on January 24th. The show titled From New York with Love will feature songs from Jackman's career, including songs from The Boy from Oz, The Greatest Showman, and The Music Man. The residency will take place across select weekends in April, May, June, July, with the final shows on August 15th and 16th.
What about Les Mis?
I'm sure, maybe.
I love
it. It didn't say that one specifically.
The music from The Greatest Showman is great.
Yes.
My daughter watched that movie like 20 times. She was obsessed with it. And I think all like elementary school kids around that age were. Because every time she had a...
That'll do it for the girls.
Well, every time they had the talent show, they all sang... what's the one real famous song from that?
Greatest Showman.
No.
The woman who sings that song.
Pink redid it.
I don't know.
Carl doesn't know the answer to a trivia question about music.
When I play a song from Greatest Showman.
A Million Dreams. A Million Dreams.
That is a good song, too.
That is not a hockey song.
I don't normally like watching musicals. I'll go to a play and I enjoy that, but I don't normally like watching them. But that is one of the very few that I think I would sit over and over and watch.
Which they haven't made a musical out of it yet. Like on Broadway, have they?
Right.
They're supposed to.
Right.
But they haven't done
it. So, yes. I would play Greatest Show at a hockey game. I will not play A Million Dreams.
Still defending it.
That's not a hockey song.
It is the
greatest. Country Roads is.
Hey. Country Roads. Nope, I'm not allowed to say. Never mind.
Keep your job.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Dre is facing a $10 million lawsuit from Dr. Charles Soffe, the psychotherapist who served as his marriage counselor during his divorce from Nicole Young. Soffe accuses Dre for launching a malicious harassment campaign, including threats, homophobic rhetoric, and late-night texts against him. The lawsuit claims Dre directed his frustrations with the divorce process towards Soffe over the course of nearly a year. We'll see if he gets his money. I doubt he will.
I didn't even know he was going through a divorce.
Yeah.
That's
Dr.
really
Dre.
Sad. Who's now, if Mark were here, he might say, who's Dr.
Who's
Dre?
No, he knows who Dr. Dre is.
He's locked in my basement. Come on, had to do it.
Hold on, wait.
Fisher-Price has recalled over 2 million Snug-a-Swings following five infant deaths reported between 2012 and 2022. They're called Snug-a-Swings. The swings sold from 2010 to 2024, and they pose a suffocation risk, particularly when bedding is added. The deaths involved infants ages 1 to 3 months who were placed unrestrained in the swings. The U.S. Consumer Report Product Safety Commission emphasizes the swings were not intended for infant sleep. Consumers should immediately remove the headrests and body support inserts and can receive a whopping $25 refund from Fisher-Price.
Wow. They're going big, right? $25. That'll make up for it. I mean, if you add bedding to anything with an infant, that they would probably argue that could be bad. Because it's not like they're at the age where they can get it off of themselves if they get it wrapped around their head somehow.
I'm looking at them right now. They're like octopi. They look like octopus.
Yeah, they're kind of weird-looking things.
I'm going to have to Google this.
I know my kid didn't have one. That's all I remember.
They're animals. Like, that's a lion, and that's an octopus, and that is a monkey and a frog, but they have like four different arms, and I could see how a baby could
get caught up in one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like last night Tesla hosted their highly anticipated Wii Robot event last night. They had the cyber cab. That was one of the big things that came out of it. It's a robo-taxi, which has, it's fully self-driving. It has no steering wheel or no pedals or no Ethan Bright in it, because I would not get in one. The big thing, though, that came out of it that I thought was the Optimus robot. It's a full autonomous personal assistant. Go on Twitter today, or X, or whatever you want to call it. Look these things up. They're all over right now. They look exactly like those robots in iRobot.
Or the Wild Robot.
No, I mean, they look exactly like iRobot. And it's kind of cool, though. They've got like people interviewing these robots. They're just sitting out in the street talking.
I saw that.
They can answer questions. They're serving you drinks. Like,
how much does one of these cost
to
get a personal robot
Elon Musk
assistant?
Is the world's richest man. If you buy one of these, he will stay that way.
I mean, if anyone could afford one. I just think of the movie Bicentennial Man with Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I can't stop looking at the Robovan. The Robovan looks...
What's the fail-safe?
It looks like a cross between a bus and a toaster.
It does.
A toaster?
It really
does. It looks like a toaster.
What is the fail-safe if there is no pedals and if there are no
steering
wheels?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, you're right. It totally looks like a toaster. Oh my gosh. I was trying to picture in my brain what that would look like. You're spot on.
I think it's supposed to be used for mass transit, right?
Right. Yeah.
Wow, what is our future going to look like?
I mean, it does look like something out of the Jetsons or whatever.
Well, so do the Cybertrucks. Those are, every time I see a Cybertruck, I don't even want to look, because I'm like, I don't want to even, that's what you want me to do. You want me to look at you, and I'm not, and I do it anyway.
Speaking of Cybertrucks, the Irvine Police Department in Southern California has purchased the country's first Tesla Cybertruck for police use, though it will not be used for regular patrols. The truck, costing $153,175, more than a typical Ford Police Interceptor, will primarily be used for anti-drug programs at schools. So they spent...
Is that really necessary?
$153,000.
Sell drugs.
For
the DARE program. Is DARE still a thing, by the way?
Yes,
remember that?
Yes, it is.
Come on.
This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
If you're on drugs, you might think it's a good idea to buy one of these stupid cars.
Yeah, I don't get the connection.
This is
there.
What can happen, kids. Stay off drugs.
Yeah, they thought it was cool looking. Kids are going to like it, you know. A recent Qantas flight from Sydney to Tokyo became uncomfortable when a racy film, reportedly called Daddy-O, played on all the passenger screens for nearly an hour due to a technical issue. Passengers were unable to pause or turn off the movie, which has a R rating for language, sexual content, and brief nudity. And although the crew tried to resolve the issue, they eventually switched to a children's film.
It stars Sean Penn and Dakota Johnson.
I heard it's pretty racy.
Yeah.
To have that on for an hour, and then, yeah, how can you not figure out how to stop that?
Where's that stop button at?
And who put that on in the first place? I feel bad. My gosh, what a flight to be on. All right, we're back after this.
Get more at 971talk.com.